everyone. My name is Luke John Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man show. And we have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Angel Rebo, and he's known as a CEO confidant, and he is an influencer, a LinkedIn strategist, an international TV host, a public speaker, and a CEO consultant, board member, and philanthropist. And entrepreneurs and corporate CEOs, they hire Angel to bridge the gap globally for expansion and exposure. So in the last 21 years, Angel has helped more than 1,500 CEOs in 33 different countries. And he's a gentleman that was born in Barcelona. He's lived in 8 countries and speaks 5 languages. So we're very lucky to have him here. And he also does a lot of things in the nonprofit sector, helping kids in Latin America become entrepreneurs using local resources. So we're very lucky to have him here. He's busy and he was able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So we're so very fortunate. Thank you so much, Angel.
No, please. What a blessing to be here with you. I really appreciate your generosity. And obviously, thank you very much for, you know, to everybody who's listening to us today, Luke.
Wonderful. And I guess, I'm very honored to have you here. And I'm curious, I guess, to start off, you know, I'd love to know more about your background and what made you first gravitate towards what you do now?
Yeah, I would say that probably it's because when I was very, very young, I was learning French in school and mom and dad said, you know, you have to also learn English. And then I started to learn English in fifth or sixth grade, I started to learn English. Mm-hmm. And French at the same time. Fast forward in the 90s, I took my first international position, international position. I had had some internships in several countries before. I had lived in several countries before. But then, you know, let's say I was always like a people's person. I'm very passionate, very enthusiastic. Right. I really like to hang around with people and to, you know, to really understand. Understand people. And that's why probably actually my first international position, full-time position was in the UK, which was with an American software company.
Okay.
And I had done a lot of, let's say, marketing PR stuff before.
A little bit
of sales.
Yes.
But my career really started on sales when I was in the UK, first with Spanish speaking accounts in Europe.
Yes.
But then I really gravitated to many different countries, many different languages. Even if those countries didn't speak English, I would still call as an inside salesperson.
Yes.
So I really started my career in sales the hard way, like making those phone calls that nobody wants to make, those cold calling thing. But my field reps, my field sales representatives in the different countries, they loved me. They loved me because I was able to call high in the accounts. That means they was able to call to the high level executives of those corporations. Right. I had nothing to lose. So I just call and I would have so many appointments for my field reps that they would love me. And then everything started from there. I asked to move from the UK, from Europe to the Americas. I went to Latin America to live. I left 10 years there. And then I also lived already 10 years here, 11 years here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been always about meeting with people, connecting. Besides what you read, which is obviously my bio, I always like to say that I am the connector of the unconnected.
Okay.
You know, I think that this passion and this enthusiasm that God has given me, also probably because also my father is also very humorous, very like open-minded person, all energy, all passion. It's that I think that this is a blessing, a talent that I've been given to actually inspire and help others to get things done in their lives, you know? Mm. And I think that's when you start doing your career and you like what you do and you are good at what you do and you keep on making progress. Mm. And then you keep on become the more that you fail forward, the better that you become as a person. And the more mistakes you make, the more that you learn and things that you can literally improve in both in your life and in your professional career.
Okay. Wow. That's wonderful. That's an amazing story. It's interesting how, you know, your parents wanted you to learn other languages and you sort of branched out and you went to the UK and you went into sales and you just hit it off. You know, sales is something that scares a lot of people, particularly cold calling, but you sort of had that fearlessness. And it's interesting how sales is something that's open to everyone. And so many people are scared of it, but there's so much success to be had there. So many avenues that you can, that sales can take you on. And you were able to cold call people and get in touch with the top-notch people. It's interesting. You were able to talk with people that, that may not have known the language. I think if I heard
exactly, you got it right. Yeah. Exactly. It's funny because most of the people don't get this part of my conversation right. So I would suggest to give you an example.
Yeah.
I was calling Germany.
Yes.
And I was calling the Nordic countries.
Yes.
In English.
Yes.
So at some, I have to tell you, very often they didn't really know. I mean, let's say that the Nordic countries, maybe they speak English a little bit. In Germany, not so much.
Right.
But I was able to have conversations, have English, have whatever they were talking, you know,
really?
And get to understand each other. And at the end of the day, we wanted to take these people to get a call from someone that was from the field, from the same country.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, it's true. You know, if I've always been pretty fearless.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's because this is the way I think, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
All these people that I might be afraid of talking to, they are not going to pay my bills. They're not going to pay my car loan. They're not going to pay my mortgage unless I close. So, you know, is it worth to have this brief period of discomfort or discomfortable time in exchange of of making a living and being successful, you know? So my answer has always been yes. There's always, it's always, you know, you put in the scale,
You
know, the discomfort for doing something and the rewards that you might have.
Right.
Is it worth keep on doing this? Yes or no?
Right.
My answer was always yes. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. I mean, it's like my TV host career.
Right.
I have been extremely, extremely successful doing that because one client asked me to sit down and start interviewing people. So imagine I was in Los Angeles 3 years and a half ago in Los Angeles. Yeah. I had never interviewed anybody for any for any TV network ever. And I was hired. So one of my clients was a TV network in Spain with 1.7 million subscribers online.
Wow.
So, I mean, a lot of people were watching those videos. And and we were in LA. Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? Some celebrities were there.
Wow.
And I remember, I don't know what interview number it was, but probably like the sixth or the seventh interview in my life.
Yeah.
Was to a big celebrity actress in Hollywood.
Wow.
When she sat down next to me, I had no idea who she was. I only knew her name in Spanish, which has nothing to see with the real name in English that goes in the movie theaters when you see her. I'm going to tell you the name of this lady, and this you will say, really? Yes, that lady.
Okay.
So she sat down and had no idea who she was.
Yeah.
She was incognito, so nobody really knew who she was, the way she was dressing and everything. She was dressing pretty, very uncommon, very unconventional. She sat down next to me. The production team didn't tell me anything. Maite. Okay, so that's like Maria Teresa, like Maria Teresa, Marie Therese in French. In the short is Maite, short form is Maite. And then I started speaking with her and asking questions. And to be honest, I don't really need to know much about the person that I'm interviewing. I just have to be really following through a conversation, which is interesting for my audience.
Right.
It's good to know things about the person, but
right.
It's not that you really need to know a lot of things about that person. So, and that conference was about the spirituality. So I started asking her about her spiritual life. So, and the conversation went very well. She spoke better English than Spanish, but it was okay. She did good and blah, blah. And we finished the call and she went really fast because people were starting to recognize her and wanted her to sign, you know, things.
Right.
So her name is Michelle Rodriguez, and she is the actress that appears in Fast and Furious.
Wow.
She's the Latina ladies in Fast and Furious.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I could have been nervous. So that's why, even when some hosts, I'm on, thank God I'm on podcast interviews very often. Some hosts are very kind to send me a list of questions.
Yes.
I don't want to sound disrespectful, okay? And I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but I prefer not to look at the questions.
Okay.
I prefer not to look at the questions because I'd rather be fully present, fully paying attention to you.
Right.
Than having tried to memorize before. Because also there's something else, as you know, Luke, because you're a professional.
Yes.
Sometimes you might want to ask me something that was not on the script, right?
Right.
So I'm really open to any question. And that's really fun. It's fun to have a conversation when you don't know what the other party is going to ask you.
Yes. You
know? So anyway, that's who I am. And I really like that.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. It's interesting how you got that break. You know, people may say you were lucky, but luck is preparation meeting opportunity. You had the communication skills that you had honed and developed in sales. And you're a natural people person. And you're also very passionate. So I can see why you may not have experience in interviewing people, but you could excel at talking to people right away. Because an interview is just a conversation.
Exactly.
And you had been doing that all your life. So you already had experience.
And as you know, Luke.
Yes.
As you know, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people that are getting into podcasting today.
Because of course.
It's a way of having exposure and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that you don't really, I mean, as far as you really are focusing on allowing your guests to be the main character of that conversation
right?
and being present in order to be able to jump into additional questions that and to really understand and to be empathetic with what the other person is saying. As far as you can do this, you can really have very, very profound, very good conversations that are going to help your audience, which at the end of the day is what you really want to do is generate good content today, but also that your audience learns something from our conversation today.
Right. Definitely. It's so important. I do a lot of research on podcasting, and it's best for shows to be both educational and entertaining. And that's so important. And I find you both educational and entertaining.
I like to bring those I've lived in so many countries and traveled so much. I like to bring those anecdotes that suddenly things happen to your life and then you say, oh, I should have pinched myself. I should have taken her phone number or something.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, I have her email address, by the way.
Okay. Well, you can still stay in touch with Michelle Rodriguez. That's wonderful. The movies she was in have been great. Fast and Furious. I think I seen the first and second one. They were amazing. I think they're actually the most popular American film in China.
It could be.
I think Fast and Furious.
They are celebrities. In China, they're much more known than here. Yeah, unfortunately, I forgot the name of the actor that died in a car accident, in a car crash, but...
Yeah.
But it's a very famous saga, let's say. Very, very popular.
Definitely. Definitely. Oh, I know who you're referring to. Is a blonde-haired actor. I his name escapes me for some reason.
He died in Spain, actually, unfortunately. He was driving
a
Porsche and he died in Spain. It was very, very sad. Great guy. Really great guy.
It was tragic. So I'm curious. Obviously you work with a lot of folks in business.
Yes.
And obviously people in entertainment. I'm curious, how would you describe the current state of business, of the business world right now? And what challenges has the pandemic posed?
Well, I would say that it's the moment of truth. Let me put it this way. It's the moment of truth because since the very moment that you have to show as a business leader, you have to show your business leadership skills. With a team which is not present, then you have to play another role. You have to be someone else or you have to use different skills. And I think this is really important. I think it's very important if you are able to adapt to the situation and you can use opportunities like the ones that we are living in the world right now to your advantage. Not every single leader can do that. I have seen a lot of organizations adapting just to conduct business online as opposed to doing it face to face. So there's a lot of, all the business development teams in the world are doing right now an effort to make sure that they still can close those deals.
Right.
But doing it from the office or from the home, whatever it is that they're conducting. So I think that number one, number two, that's one thing, being able to lead online remotely, successfully or effectively. Okay. Number two, I would say, obviously, when the companies have to do in general, not all industries have been affected the same, okay? Mm-hmm. But having to do more with less, that's very important. And that's been a big change. So I think that right now, profitability is much more important than before. I think that profitability, obviously the shareholders always are looking for the dividends and the return on their investment. That's obvious. But I think that right now, the corporations, the companies, the businesses that don't really put profitability in the forefront of their strategy, they're making a big mistake. I think that every single employee should be fully, fully aware of the financial implications of the decisions that they make.
Okay. And that, thank you so much for that. And obviously, you were talking, I guess, about efficiency, cutting out the fat. And, you know, it's interesting how when people move online, they save time and money on, you know, travel, commuting, of course. And when people work at home, they tend to work longer hours, they found. So I guess in many ways, profitability has gone up. For some firms and some industries. And, you know, it's interesting, in Chinese, they say the word for crisis includes opportunity in Mandarin. So I guess there is some opportunity for some folks, but it's been hard for some businesses. Obviously, some businesses have closed forever, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that necessarily due to the fact that most employees are at home right now. I wouldn't necessarily say that means that they have increased in profitability, honestly, to be honest. I think that everybody has had a hit, or many industries have had a hit in the revenues. And right now they are thinking about how they can do it better so that every employee is more aware of the financial implications of their decisions, you know? Yeah. So I think that it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going really well because of just working home. I mean, from a profitability perspective, I think that profitability is much more important than before. Okay. And profitability at the end of the day is returning the money to the shareholders, right? So which is the goal. The goal of any business is to make money.
Yeah, definitely. Is the bottom line, as they say. And thank you for that clarification. And obviously, you know, things are changing a lot and everything's sort of topsy-turvy. But in the future, there'll be a post-pandemic world where, you know, this virus will mostly go away, if not entirely go away. And hopefully it comes sooner rather than later. I'm curious, where do you see things going in the future? And where do you obviously see yourself in that future?
Well, I am a creator. Okay. Sure. So what I'm trying to say is that I'm always in a position in which I try to create new stuff, new things, you know, all the time. So I think that everything that's happening around us is helping us to see the world in a different way.
Right.
I think that developing critical thinking is very important today.
Right.
And it's the time for all of us to really be able to think, what is the world that we want in the future?
Okay.
I think that's really important. So that's what I see myself. I think that people are asking themselves more questions than before, and they will keep on doing that. And they will keep on thinking if what they have been doing so far in their lives, if they will be doing the same thing moving forward or not. And probably the answer, and I'm not talking about, what a corona has caused in the world. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about, there's a lot of things happening right now. If not everybody has the ability to do this, but if you take the corona out of the equation and you analyze the rest of the world, the rest of our lives, So is that really the life we want to live? Do we really want our businesses to be affected all the way, the same way that they're being affected today? So I think that as a world, we can make, so many better decisions than the decisions we have made so far. So I think that in the future, organizations will become more human. They will become more mindful about about unconscious, about the role that they play in the as community leaders, the role that they play as the leaders of all these families and employees that they employ, every single day. And my role in that place is as a global citizen, because I consider myself a global citizen. I think that as a conscious leader, I've been talking about consciousness and how to bring consciousness to businesses. I think that there's going to be a change, and the companies and the people are going to be more mindful, and they will become more conscious about a lot of things that they do in their everyday lives.
Right.
And my role will be there to make sure that I help them. I help them in that path of going from where we are today to a much better, let's say, or to a better or different world. A healthy world for everybody, a world where I think that. We all have to be able to create families and raise families with the guarantees that you are given the right tools to make the rest of your family thrive if you have kids. All these kind of things. I think that we have to rethink, very honestly, I think we have to rethink the pillars of our world right now.
Well, thank you so much for that answer. And it's interesting how you talked about yourself as a creator. And I think it was Albert Einstein who said that imagination is more important than knowledge. I think that's totally true. Obviously we need lots of new ideas. And it's interesting, you mentioned how there was, beyond the pandemic, there were still a lot of issues, even before the pandemic came, that still have to be solved. And they're still gonna be there after the pandemic's over. And you talked about there'll be an increase in social awareness, particularly in terms of how employees need to be better taken care of, I believe, better work-life balance. So you have to, on one end, balance profitability. On the other hand, employees should be respected for the valuable resources that they are to firms. So yeah, I think that's so important. And that is very critical. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
I'm curious. Now, obviously, you help folks quite a lot when it comes to CEOs, entrepreneurs, and things of that nature. I'm curious. Now, there are so many people like yourself who are consultants to people in the corporate world. What makes you sort of stand out? And I suppose what differentiates you? What makes you unique? And what's your competitive advantage as a coach, so to speak?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the question. That's a great question. I think the number one, I think that it's my principles and values. I think that I'm a very, I'm an empath, and that's good and that's bad, because sometimes I suffer unnecessarily of things that I feel around myself with other people. But I think that I'm able to take relationships or to create relationships in a way that I really make help or help transformation in the lives of my clients.
Okay.
Extensively. You mentioned creativity. I definitely think that, this is something that has made me completely different. So everybody's able to, let's say, to generate X number of leads or X number of millions of dollars in revenue, whatever that is. Everybody can say the same thing. What makes me different is my track record. And you can go on LinkedIn. As you know, I'm very active on LinkedIn, and you can see that what I have done. You can see many, references. You can see the clients I've served. You can see the companies I've worked with and what I've done with them, and so you will have a clear understanding. I think that I consider myself a conscious leader. I consider myself a connector of the unconnected, because I think that still there has to be a connection created inside the companies and the corporations.
Sure.
And I think that profit and culture and engagement and accountability all go together. Mm-hmm. And there's this misconception of profit. Mm-hmm. People tend to think profits are bad.
Right.
You know, profits are not bad if the company right. was yours, right? What is bad, what do you do with the profits?
Yeah.
So we can have a conversation about what you do with the profits if you want to. But in reality, tell me what is wrong with profits. All companies are there because of the profits. Someone put the money.
Right.
There's some investors and some shareholders. If the company's public, obviously, you might have thousands of millions of shareholders.
Right.
But still, you know, you obviously, you have to give, you know, pay these shareholders some dividend.
Right, of course.
So, again, my international experience, I think it's extremely important. The fact that I'm able to go literally to anywhere in the world and start doing business right away. I think that's really important. My network of partners I've developed in many different places in the world, I think that makes me also different.
Wow.
And as you see, I mean, when I help my clients, I use my presence online. I think that there are not many consultants out there that really know how to master the presence online. I mean, I post every single day in every single main media outlet out there. I have, you know, thousands of people watching all my social media outlets and my videos and my content. I post, as I said, I post every single day. My level of engagement, so people that go to my post and engage is high.
Wow.
So there's a lot of people engaging. So that's why I think that there's many different things. And I think that I am very, very, very well prepared as a consultant.
Why?
For what's coming. I've been in the online world for many years now.
Right.
And I think that I've been able to learn a few things to shorten the path to results. Because at the end of the day, people hire me because of my results.
Right. Okay, that's great. So you have the track record, you have the experience, as opposed to someone who's starting off new. And you talked about how you're an empath, and that has some upside, that has some downside, and that you're very creative. So I'm guessing, you know how to come up with new ideas that others may not be able to develop. And of course, you're active online in the social media world, posting daily and driving engagement. I guess that helps you to stay top of mind when you're on social media and have all these followers, particularly LinkedIn, which is so underutilized, I think, as a platform by many.
I agree.
So it's interesting. So obviously you're on all the platforms, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatnot, YouTube, and that's so critical. So many people don't really utilize social media the way they should. And I'm guessing you're one in the minority. You're one of the top few that does. So this helps to set you apart from others. So that's great. And I think you're an inspiration. I think you're setting blazing a trail for other people to follow who want to be entrepreneurs and in terms of, you know, being creative and understanding how social media is important and the other things you do. So I'm obviously you've helped many folks throughout the world, which is amazing. And since you're an empath, obviously, when you help people achieve success, it's like you've achieved that success in a sense. You can feel it. And I like how you said you're a connector of the unconnected. That's great. I'm curious, can you tell us any of the most moving or entertaining stories from your career? Now, you already told us about Michelle Rodriguez, how you got the interview. You didn't even know who she was at the time.
No, I didn't. I had no idea.
You're better off for it, because if you did, you might have been nervous.
You never know. So, you know, I think that you have to be open to whatever comes to you. You know, I mean, traveling, when you travel the world, I was traveling extensively the Americas. I mean, from Canada down to, you know, Argentina and Europe as well. So there's always things happening.
Yes.
There's always things happening. Always.
Right.
You know, so there's no boring, such a thing as a boring trip. And I always, besides my work, I would always like to go and spend time with my team and with my local teams and with my business partners.
Right.
I think it's really important to build a good relationship with everybody.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, a good relationship with everybody. So there's been a lot of, I mean, I was telling you about these hosting interviews because I mean, I would have never said that I was going to host interviews ever.
Right.
You know, and right now I'm using it. I mean, fast forward since the last 3 years, I keep on saying 500. Probably I've conducted more than 600 interviews already.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Because I love interviewing. I mean, I love asking questions and listening. You know? So.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, all. I think it's a matter of always wanting to be yourself, regardless of where you are and regardless of the opportunities that the life presents to you. I think that this is really important.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you. That's incredible. And it's interesting how, you know, you are a people person, and you know the importance of relationships, and relationships are so important and so key. And, you know, you didn't start off with, I'm guessing, you know, with like a silver spoon in your mouth. You made things happen, particularly in the sales world. You took advantage of opportunities and, you know, and you networked, you're a people person. Okay. So in that case, I'm curious, what advice would you give to people when it comes to networking and going out there and getting a following and getting referrals and whatnot?
Yeah, I think that we have to learn how to collaborate. I think that's the most important thing.
Right.
I mean, one of the things I said before, I always repeat the same thing. When you are afraid of doing something, just think about who's going to pay the car loan or who's going to pay the mortgage that month. So all the decisions that you don't make will remain not made, and you will lose opportunities for not talking to people. My favorite mantra is take imperfect action now. Take imperfect action now. Okay. So that's definitely my number one piece of advice I give everybody, regardless of what you want to do, regardless of the service of the product.
Right.
Take an action now and don't look for a perfection way to do something. Just do it. Do it and see what happens. Start doing something. Start your podcast. Start selling a product. Start selling a service, and see what happens. See what your clients tell you. You know.
Wow.
So just stop being in the fence or on the fence all the time. Just take action. Take action. That's the most important thing you have to do. You know. Mm-hmm. And I'm when I teach entrepreneurs how to pivot, you know, how to reinvent themselves.
Yes.
I talk about this concept all the time. It's not. Your success is much more reliant on your attitude than on your expertise, to be honest. Because at the end of the day, you will have to develop a relationship, a personal relationship with someone that you will be providing that service or product to. So just be yourself and start, you know, putting your services and your products out there as soon as possible.
Got it. Thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, you know, you've given us a lot of great, important life lessons,
Thank you.
Success
Thank
principles.
You. Thank you.
What book recommendations would you give to folks? Any gurus that you like or whatnot?
Oh, absolutely. There's a great book. Actually, I have it here. I would like to recommend everybody. So this book is called The Baker's Dozen Rules of Highly Successful Business Operators. The Baker's Dozen Rules of Highly Successful Business Operators. The author is Mr. Neville Joffe. Neville, N-E-V-I-L-L-E, Joffe, J-O-F-F-E. That's definitely the number one book I would like to recommend. It's an amazing book. It has received actually contributions from very high executives of many corporations in the world. The author himself has trained more than 20,000 C-levels and business operators in many of the largest corporations in the world. So this book is life-changing if you are a business owner. If you are a business owner, and as I said before, it has received so many contributions from so many C-levels from large corporations that you will not, when you read it, and it's an easy read, it's not boring, it's really an easy read, people enjoy it. And he actually, if you ever see an interview with him, he's a fun guy to actually work with.
Okay. Wow. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, are you ever going to write a book yourself?
That's a great question. At some point I was offered the possibility to do it.
Yeah.
And I decided not to do it. And I have been remorseful about that for so long. So
wow.
I should have taken the opportunity. It's probably one of the few opportunities I lost. I allowed myself to let go. So I will probably do it. I don't know when.
Okay.
Right. Actually, it's funny that you say that because I just wrote the foreword of a book just recently on conscious leadership. Yes. So, but probably, yes, probably I will do it, but I still don't know how nor when.
Okay. And obviously you're already a host and you already have your own show and whatnot, which is great. And where you get to, you've done hundreds of interviews, which is amazing. I'm curious, you've given us a lot of great life lessons. And I think one of the most important ones is to say yes, or in terms of take advantage of opportunities, even before you think you're ready. Just jump in, start.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So important, so critical. Can you describe all the ways that people can get in touch with you?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very easy. The easiest way is to send me an email directly. My name is Angel, A-N-G-E-L. My last name is Ribo, which is R-I-B as in boy, O. And my email address is angel@angelribo.com. angel@angelribo.com. That's the easiest way to connect with me. I have to say that also it's very easy for you guys to reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Right.
Either my team or myself, they will be able to respond to you. LinkedIn is my number one and most favorite place to be, social media outlet, because of my clients are there. And the clients of my clients are also there. So it's where I conduct most of my activity. I am on LinkedIn every single day, every single day.
Wow. Wow. So many people have to be on LinkedIn more instead of Facebook or TikTok. I totally recommend LinkedIn. Thank you so much for what you just provided. I'm going to put that in the episode description box so people can see it and read it there. It's definitely been an honor to have you as
a
guest.
Thank you.
I'd love to stay in touch with you. I'm going to go ahead and give you the last word. Is there anything you wanted to say or sign off?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I am extremely grateful that you brought me to your show. Thank you for having me today, Luke. It's been a great conversation. Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you everybody who's been listening to us today.
Got it. Thank you as well to the audience. And thank you, Angel. And definitely, when you get that book out, when you write it, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'll be the
Thank
first
you.
Person online. Thank you, everyone.
You.
Take care. See you guys in the
and
next
you
episode.
Too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, guys. Before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.